Now, according to new data from the Bureau of Labor Statistics and the U.S. Department of Labor, in 2017 and 2018, about a quarter of U.S. workers worked from home at least some of the work week. That's up from 19% in 2003 when they first started tracking it. We wanted to find out what's behind those numbers and what they might mean for workers and employers, and you can share your experiences working from home or employing people who do. Call in now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Patricia Mullins is Professor Emerita in the School of Business at UW-Madison. She's author of the book, The Best Work of Your Life. Patty, welcome back to the show.
Thank you. Good to be here.
We see these numbers of people working at home, at least some of the time, inching upward over time. Why do you think that is?
I think it's primarily because the workplace is changing. There are a lot more work jobs that are compatible with being able to work at home or telecommute, as they call it. It's estimated now that over 50% of jobs are at least compatible in some way with at least one day of work at home.
And I remember not that long ago, it seemed like this was the wave of the future. We were going to see huge, fast increases in the number of people working at home. And again, it's going up steadily, but not quickly. So what might be holding employers in particular back from wanting to have people work from home?
I think sometimes employers are worried about productivity, and they're worried that people are not going to be as productive if they're working at home. Although most studies have shown that productivity increases, satisfaction increases, workers are retained for a longer time. You can get much more talented people because you can get someone who's not in your local area.
Now, obviously, some jobs, you got to be there. If you're a wait staff at a restaurant, you can't do that from home. That said, do we have a sense of the kinds of jobs that tend to lend themselves more to telecommuting?
Mostly management, financial jobs, business jobs. But there are some that are unusual. When I saw a ranking recently of the jobs, some of them are analysts, some are military jobs. Even doctors, radiologists, for example, are starting to work from home. Because they're reading x-rays, so they can do that at home. One of the things I think that's interesting when we're talking about working at home is there are people who have always worked at home. We think about teachers. We don't know many teachers who don't bring work home. Grading papers, preparing lesson plans. Salespeople, sales representatives have probably always worked at home on the telephone. It's just now with the advent of our new technology, we can do a lot more different kinds of jobs at home.
Well, that reminds me, the study said that about 1 in 5 of the people who were working at home, at least occasionally, said they weren't getting paid for it. It was, in effect, extra time at home devoted to work, like the
right.
Teacher bringing the homework home.
Exactly. And I think we find that a lot in the managerial area. If someone's doing if they're managing people, they have to be there. But if they have to do job performance evaluations and write them up, that's a good day to work at home because then you're not interrupted. You can have your quiet time and finish all your writing at that point.
Now, this is running against another strain, I think, in the work world that's coming from Silicon Valley that says you want your workers from different lines of work bumping into each other, interacting in the break room, in the hallway, walking through the office, and that sparks discussions and that leads to creative problem solving. Is that a real thing, and is it getting lost if more of us are working at home?
I think it is a real thing, and you have to be a certain kind of worker to want to work at home. Most businesses, large businesses like Dell, Aetna, Xerox, they have a significant proportion of their workforce working at home, but they screen them very carefully. You have to be extremely motivated. You have to have a good space to be able to work, and you have to have, again, a job that's compatible. And your employer has to have reasonable expectations so that you know exactly what you have to accomplish. Otherwise, it won't necessarily be successful. Typically, the person who's working at home is older because younger people do like that in a non-isolating. You're more isolated when you're working at home. They like that energy and they like that enthusiasm. If you're in a creative kind of situation, it may not be good for you to be working in isolation unless you do a lot of interaction on FaceTime and have those kinds of interactions. But it's still not the same as bumping into someone at the water cooler.
Talking to Patricia Mullins from the UW-Madison School of Business, author of the book, The Best Work of Your Life, talking about new federal data on people working at home. It's been going up over time. About a quarter of people say they work from home at least some of the time. And this is part of a wider interest in the idea of workplace flexibility, this ability to work at home is a subset of that. There's also talk about letting people choose their hours as long as they get all necessary hours in. Is that also a trend you're seeing, just efforts at more flexibility?
For sure, yes. I think that workplace flexibility is increasing. It satisfies more people who are interested in work-life balance. It satisfies families, not just men, not just women, but also men. And that's an interesting part, I think, of these data, is that the people who work at home tend to be equal on gender. You know, males and females tend to work at home about equally, but for different reasons. Women say their reason more is to take care of personal and family events, and men say they just like having the personal time to work alone.
That's men and women coming out pretty evenly on that. Do we know anything else about demographics as far as things like ethnicity and income levels?
Yes, we know that gender is about equal, but we know that people who are of color do not work at home as much as the white working population. We know that they tend to be educated. We know that they tend to be older, and they tend to earn about, on average, about $4,000 more a year, those workers who are working at home.
Talking about flexibility, this report did find some people at the other end of things. They asked a question about how long in advance do you get your schedule for for a particular week? And a lot of people, it might be a month, or you always know because it's always the same thing. But there's a decent percentage in the teens, I think it was, where people found out the week before or less than a week before. Who is that hitting?
Right. I think that's hitting a lot of people where the workplace is in flux. Things like long distance hauling, driving, extraction, businesses, those kinds of things where it's a little more unpredictable, things that depend on the weather. Also, things like restaurants. We know that staffing depends on what's happening in the local area. If there's a football game or if there's a local high school prom, things are going to be busier. So those kinds of jobs tend to be less predictable.
Now, here's an interesting case study going on. The state of Utah apparently is in the midst of this interesting experiment on productivity. They're randomly assigning, if I have this right, state workers to work from home and then seeing how it works out, I guess. What are they learning so far?
Yeah, so far they've found 20% increase in productivity and that people are a lot happier if they enjoy the working at home, right? Mm-hmm. And as I said earlier, for some people, it's just not their thing. I read some of the follow-up comments to this survey, and one person said, I'd weigh 600 pounds, and I would be fighting with my neighbors all the time if I worked at home. Mm-hmm. It's just not me. So that's why it's important to consider, is that really for you? Are you the kind of person who's going to be motivated and who's going to get up and, you don't have to get out of your jammies, but you do have to get to work.
I think I would probably lose weight. A lot of donuts and things like that tend to show up here at my workplace. You mentioned earlier that radiologist who might be able to work remotely. Can you talk about the role of changing technology? Because, not that long ago, if you'd wanted that much data, you would have had to drive to the hospital, get it, and drive it back home. We're in new frontiers with the ability to telecommute.
Right, right. And now we can do that in so many different ways. 3D, virtual reality. We can, as you said, a radiologist can have the x-rays up on his screen in his home office or her home office. A lot of physicians now will do their consulting if they're doing write-ups and things in their home office. So in a way, we can get a lot more done because we have access with the new technology.
And some of the officials in Utah have said, hey, this could end up being a boon for rural communities. And we talk about that idea, having rural broadband could allow more people to telecommute. that could allow more people to move to and then spend money in rural communities that need that kind of economic activity.
Right. And what we find is it's interesting. There's one piece of data that shows that the states that have the most people who are working from home are the states that have lots of outdoor recreation, like Maine, Vermont, Oregon, Utah, Montana. Those are the areas where it's highest because then there was one article I read about a guy who moved from Washington, D.C. to the northern Minnesota because he could have a better life for his family. So, you know, if you're going to choose to be able to work at home and you can be anywhere, it is a boon for those kinds of communities.
We're talking to Patricia Mullins right now, professor emerita in the School of Business at UW-Madison, author of the book, The Best Work of Your Life. We're looking at new data from the U.S. Department of Labor that shows about one quarter of American workers work from home at least some of the time. That has been creeping up over the last 15, 20 years or so. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have the option to work from home? If you do, do you like it, or do you prefer to be in a workplace with your colleagues? If you don't have the option to work from home, do you wish you could? And if you employ people, if you're a manager or business owner, are you able to let people work from home? How does it work out for you? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas@WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation in just a bit here on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our conversation about the overall growing number of American workers who are working from home at least some of the work week. Patricia Mullins stays with us. She's a professor emerita in the School of Business at UW-Madison and author of the book, The Best Work of Your Life. And you can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you work from home? Have you ever? If you don't, would you want to? Love to hear about your experiences. Are you able to get stuff done working at home, or is it hard to motivate yourself? And if you're an employer who offers this option, how does that work for your business? You can join us at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or tweet us at Central Time WPR. And Patty, it seems like not that long ago, there was kind of a pushback where some of the technology companies in particular said, yeah, we're gonna be on the frontiers of letting people work at home. We're dialing it back in. Why is that?
Well, I think they found that sometimes the creativity is lacking. And I think the sweet spot people have found now, it's 2 to 3 days a week of working at home and then having some in-office time. Now, that's very difficult if you have an expert on your staff who happens to be, you know, 500 miles away from you. But businesses are realizing it's not just a nice thing to do for workers. They're realizing it's an actual business strategy if you want to retain people, if you want to have the best talent. So, you know, but it's not going to go completely in that direction. So there's going to be some sweet spot of it working for each individual business.
You mentioned things like FaceTime earlier. Like I've participated in meetings remotely by phone, and that's generally terrible, right? On a conference call or something like that. Nobody likes that, I don't think. But being able to see each other and maybe be a little more active and get that nuance and maybe just hear each other better. Is that making this more possible to do?
Definitely. I think it's definitely making it more possible to do because you feel like you're there. And it's such a savings for not only the company, but for the employee. You don't have to do all that traveling. That's something that we haven't talked about is all the savings that are afforded not just to a particular business, but to the economy, savings in gas, savings in CO2 emissions, savings in commute time, savings in real estate, you know, all of those things, not just for the business, but also for the employee.
On the cultural side of things, I mean, in so many realms in our lives, it's easier to stay in than go out. We can watch movies in the comfort of our own home a lot easier than we used to. The podcasts, we can stream music there. It's a lot easier to entertain ourselves at home and not get that human contact. If we're not going to work either, are we going to become this culture of recluses?
That's true. That's a danger. And that's why I think for many people, it just wouldn't work and they wouldn't be happy doing it because they need more social interaction, perhaps. But also, it may be that we're getting more social interaction in other ways. neighborhoods, communities. And I think people are really craving that. There was an interesting study, because I live in the country, there was an interesting study done in rural areas in Wisconsin. And one of the things that rural residents of Wisconsin wanted more of was social interaction and social kind of resources in their local communities.
Let's bring on a caller now. We've got Nick on the line in Green Bay. Nick, hi.
My question for the professor. Hi, good afternoon. My question for the professor is this. Working in manufacturing, it's been instilled into my philosophy that going to Gemba, or the place where the work happens, is core to effective problem solving in manufacturing. And this is preached through the Toyota Way, Lean Manufacturing, Six Sigma, lots of manufacturing philosophies. How do we reconcile the working from home movement with the concept of going to Gemba and problem solving on the shop floor?
I think probably the way that that's going to be working is what I was talking about, the sweet spot, is that people are going to have to go into the office. Now, that's where the creativity part comes in, and that's where, as you said, the Six Sigma and all of the kind of traditional areas of business and performance in business happen. But it doesn't mean that at least every now and then you can't have a day working at home. Let's say that you have a big report to write up or something specific to work on. More people, I think when we're talking about working at home, that's more likely is that people that like when Robin's talking about the people who work at home at least some of the time, 25% work at home like at least once a year. Only about 15% work at home at least one day a week. So, I think it's going to be more that we have the opportunity, even if it's just every now and then, to do some work at home.
Nick, thanks for the call. We'll go to Mike now with us in Portage. Mike, hi.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. What's your situation, Mike?
I've had a couple of different telecommuting jobs. I'm a developer. One I had where everybody was a telecommuter. And let me just say that the organization is key in that because there was a point where my team forgot that I was on their team. We had monthly meetings and we touched base, and we had just got a new person was hired on as a manager, and he was kind of wrangling the cats. And so then we had a manager's meeting, and then the next month we had another one, and he goes, "Oh, wait, you're on our team too." And I had been emailing him every day, and he'd be communicating with me, but he had just forgotten, and I lost out on work because of it. Another time I worked, and some of us were telecommuting, others weren't. And that, again, is, I think, a little difficult because the people who work together then in close proximity kind of have a tighter, closer relationship on the team. And those of us who were telecommuting kind of felt a bit left out. But then, like you guys said, the sweet spot, I had a job where I could work one or two days a week from home. And it was great because I could have a big project, take it home, work on it, get back into the office and interact with people. And for me, I kind of really like that interaction. I think being able to communicate with somebody immediately versus having to, go on a video conference or something like that, I think that, to me anyways, is invaluable.
Mike, thanks so much for the call. So some good, the bad, and some being totally forgotten there.
And the ugly. Right.
So it does matter how you manage this kind of situation. I think we can learn from Mike's examples.
Yes, for sure. And I think he brings up a very important point about it being a combination and about being left out. You have to have a situation where you don't feel like you're left out because you're not in the office. It's very easy for clicks to happen in an office and very common. And, if that's the situation in your workplace, you have to think twice about being off on your own.
Thanks for sharing your stories, Mike. Time for another caller. Laura is with us in Manitowoc. Laura, hi.
Hi. I just wanted to call and say that I work from home. 100% of my job is done from home. Now, what I do is I work for a call center. And when I started this job, we went into the headquarters for training, and we periodically had product meetings and things like that. But now, after you're hired, 100% of our meetings, our training, everything is done remotely. So you can work anywhere in the country and do this job. And our company has grown very rapidly, and we're always looking for people to do this. And I find that so the company uses its employees to kind of recruit other employees. And I find when I talk to people about this job and I pitch it, you know, this great work from home job, I'm very often met with skepticism. People think it must be a scam if you work from home.
Laura, thanks a lot for the call. We're short on time, so I'm going to jump in. But there are scams out, work at home scams out there. Hopefully Laura's not in one of them.
Yes, for sure. And you do have to be careful about that.
Well, in our last few moments, Patty, where do you see this going? Are we going to see these numbers gradually keep going up, you think, when it comes to people working at home some of the time?
I think for sure, yes, that people will have the opportunity. I think it's as businesses really get to trust their workers, because there's a trust both ways, that goes both ways. I don't think it's going to take over the workplace, but it will certainly continue.
Patty, thanks so much for coming into the studio today.
You're welcome.
And not working from home, I guess.
Right.
Patricia Mullins is a professor emerita in the School of Business at UW-Madison. She's the author of the book, The Best Work of Your Life. She was with us to talk about the growing number of American workers who are working from home at least some of the time.